Good morning, everyone. That was a hearty good morning on your part. That's okay. There's bodies here. That's a good start. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'd like to start there with a few verses, and then we'll be moving around a little bit. And as was already mentioned, we would really appreciate your prayers this week down at the camp. I'll only be a mouthpiece for the gospel this week, and in many senses, you will be the engine behind the mouth. And so I just ask you to remember to pray so that as John would say, that he might increase, I might decrease, and that I'm a voice, and that what the voice would say would be the one to draw attention, Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to say thank you on behalf of my wife and I for your prayers for us and also for your help. I haven't looked at anything yet, but I know that you've been collecting some money for us to get a vehicle or to, I shouldn't say get a vehicle, we have one. but to change vehicles, and I'm not going to say too much because I would be inadequate. All I'm going to say is this, that my prayer for each of you and for you as an assembly, that God would richly bless you and do it in a way that would be honoring and befitting to him. So thank you. Psalm 119, and I'd like to begin reading verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. And I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. We could continue reading that and be very profitable, but what I would like to draw your attention to this morning is what drew my attention. It starts in verse 3, and it says, they also do no iniquity. It says, they walk in his ways. And then if you go down to verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And then in verse 37, it says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. I'd like to take the next few minutes to speak about God's ways. And there's a little song that says, now I know that God's way is the best way, and that's the way for me. It's easy sometimes to sing things like that, to say God's way is my way. But the actual very word itself speaks more about actions, and there's a saying that action speaks louder than words. And there's a verse in the Proverbs that says, a child is known by his doings, and we are known by the things we do. It's easy for me to say I'm like this, but the reality is if you follow me and you go and you ask the people who know me, they will tell you, well, this is what Mark's likes. And how do they know it? It's by my ways. And so I would like to consider God's ways for the next few minutes. Let's just bow our head and asked that God would direct our thoughts and our minds so that we would hear what he has to say. O Lord God, we know that you are Lord over all, creator and sustainer of all things, that you uphold all things by the word of your power. And Father, as we read these things of your Son, we thank you for the salvation that you have given to us through him. And now as we look into your word, O God, I ask that you would still our minds and our hearts from everything that would distract. O God, may we hear your spirit speaking to us. O God, minister to the need of each person here today as only you can, bringing home by your word exactly what they need. And we would praise you and bless you for what you have done and what you will do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses would come before the Lord. You can turn there. And this was after the children of Israel had sinned against God by preparing an idol, a golden idol. And Moses goes and intercedes for the people. And in the midst of his prayer, you find that he's talking to God. And look what he says in verse 13, Exodus 33, verse 13. He says there, "Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." Moses would ask God, he would say to him, "God, show me now your way. God, show me your way." And Moses would ask this, and you would see that Moses' life was dedicated to following God. He would lead the people of Israel into the wilderness, and his whole path would be dedicated to following God. And this is an example that God has left us in Scripture for you and for me, that we would know God's way. That's why it says there in Psalm 119, it says in verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." You know, there's many things in this world that people go after, and it seems like as time goes on, people become more and more almost extreme in going after certain things. And yet, the thing that matters the absolute most in all of our existence, in all of the universe, is the one thing that is the most overlooked. Because God has made us a spirit, soul, and body, and it's fine and dandy we spend all of our time with the body, but what a sad thing to neglect the thing that is most important, and that is what God has created us for, the very purpose for our existence, and that is to know Him. And so Moses would say to God, "Show me your way." And so you have to ask, well, why? What's the purpose of knowing God's way? Well, it's interesting that Moses would say that. He'd give us the answer. He would say, "Show me your way." Why? "That I may know you." Show me your way so that I may know you. Just like I said, if you watch someone and you listen to them long enough and you listen to the people around them, you begin to see what this person is like. Why? By the things they do. By how they react. And you follow along and you talk to somebody they work with and you say, what's he like or what's she like? And they say, well, they're like this. And slowly but surely, a picture begins to evolve of what this person is like, what you are like, what I'm like. Well, as we look through Scripture and we read what God is like and we see how God responds, see, it's not just to say that God is infinite, because how do I break that down to man-sized pieces? Well, I start to read in the Scripture what God has done. We see God created everything, and then I begin to understand how big and how powerful God is. And so we begin to see His ways. Well, what did God do? Well, if you turn over to Psalm 103, verse 7, Moses would say to God, "Show me your way." He would ask that of God. And now, in its answer, God begins to demonstrate to us what God is like. And so over in Psalm 103, verse 7, listen to what he says. It says there, "God made known his ways to Moses." God did not hide himself from Moses. And in fact, if you begin to look throughout Scripture, you'll find that God has not been hiding himself from us. God's purpose is to reveal his way to us. Now, he starts off in creation. He calls our attention to him through creation. And there are so many aspects of creation where God has left his fingerprint upon things. If you even start off with something, people question resurrection. How is that possible? Well, God has left us examples in creation so that we can know that what he's like. Like every year we go out and we take for granted what God has done. We go out and maybe you do. I guess I really don't. But I used to many years ago. We'll plant seeds. And you take the seed, and it's dead. You could leave it on the shelf for months and years and many years. And they found seeds that have been, they're decades old, and they take them and they stick them in the ground. And how does it happen that these seeds that are dead, you put them in the ground, and then with a little light and a little warmth and a little rain and some dirt, and all of a sudden it sprouts. And out of that little seed comes up life. How is that possible? God is leaving it for us, a demonstration of what he's like. And if we see that every year, and we don't question that, like how many times you say, "Ooh, I wonder if the grass is going to grow on my lawn this year." Maybe you're going to say, "I hope the weeds don't grow," but we all take it for granted it's going to happen. We believe in the resurrection. And so God is demonstrating to us what his ways are like so that we can know him. so that we can take something physical and transition it and say, well, if God is like that in this, then I know he's going to be like that in the spiritual things. See, God is not, there's not a disconnect in the way God works. He's consistent in every aspect. That's why we call God faithful, because everything he does is consistent with all of his character and his person. There's no inconsistencies in God. And so he said he made known his ways to Moses so that Moses could know him. And then there was another reason Moses asked to see God. He said, so I may find grace in your sight, that I may find favor in your sight, so that he would be accepted by God. See, he wanted to know God's ways so he'd be accepted. And God has made known to us his ways so that we could be accepted before him. See, it's not like some people do. It's almost like a bit of a Russian roulette. Well, I hope if I just do everything right that I get to heaven and, yes, I did it right. Hallelujah, I get to go in. It's not like that. God has made very clear in his words how we can be accepted before him. He says, he tells us, he says that we are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. He doesn't tell us to do all these other things. You think of it, of all the things God could have mandated for us to do, he made it of all things the most simple. You see, because when you look through Scripture and you look at God's ways is so that he receives the glory because he's done everything, and us who have done nothing, well, he makes it the simplest of all things. So simple that what does he say? He says, you believe and I'll do everything else. You see, us in all of our sins, we could never, ever, ever do anything to pay for even one sin, much less all the sins that are accumulated against us in our lifetime. And so what does God do? Well, he does something that really demonstrates his ways. He's taken the greatest of all sacrifices, his own son, to pay for your sin and for my sin. He's done it all. And then what does he say to you and me? He says for us to confess our sin, acknowledge our sin, and to accept that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sin. It's so simple. And that's what God is like. It's not, God is not complicated. Although God is great and wonderful and every word you could use to describe him, and yet he's made it so simple for us. Why? Because he realizes we're like sheep. And sheep are not known for their intelligence. Sheep are known to be, let's be face it, they're stupid. Okay? and I know we don't like to say we're the S word, but we are rather like that. So God has made known his ways to us so that we can be accepted with him. Now, there's something very important that we see in Scripture. When we look at God's ways and we read through the Bible, we see that God's ways do not change. Does God change? He doesn't. So God's ways do not change. So when I look at David, or when I look at Moses, or I look at Samuel, and I see what God did with Moses and Samuel and David, then I can translate that over to my life. No, I'm not going to look for the tallest guy and going to try to hit you with a stone or something like that. But I know that the same God who answered David will answer me. Why? Because God is the same and his ways are the same. He doesn't change. Because God's way, it says in Psalm 18, verse 30, that God's way is perfect. So if something is perfect, do we need to add anything to it? We don't, because it's complete, it's perfect. There's nothing left to be added to it. God's way is perfect. It's unchanging. And so that's why we can take the promises we find in the Word of God, we can take the character we see God bringing out through the different lessons and stories in the Word of God, and we can apply them today to us, because we know that God does not change. And his way does not change, the way he deals with mankind. You look how long-suffering he was with the children of Israel. You know, you and I, so long in our sin, staying in our sin, and God there crying out to us, won't you come, inviting us to receive his salvation, and yet so long we resisted against it. And maybe today you're still resisting against God's forgiveness, against his salvation, and he's still inviting you. You know, God could write in a little clause at the bottom and say, I give you 6 months and not a day more. That's what we would do, wouldn't we? I mean, you go to business and they'll you know, you go to the bank and they'll give you so much time, and after that, it's like, I'm coming to get you. We'll take everything you got. I hope there's no bankers in here today, but but that's what we do, isn't it? We have little clauses written in to protect ourselves. And yet God waits on us, and God waits on us, and God in patience and long-suffering. And not only is he waiting, he extends his hand to us, inviting us to receive repentance. And over here, some of us who profess to love him, to profess to be his children, and yet we sin. Oh, we do things. You know, in Peru, this January, February, went down there. You know, one of the saddest parts about being there, I had more people crying, telling me sad stories this January and February than I've had for a long time. And you know what the hardest part about it was? It was other Christians doing it to them. All I could do was say, but God's not like that. Yes, Christians do that to each other, but God's not like that. And they knew that. And you know what? We sin against God, and yet he's so long-suffering with us. He's so patient. And he wants us, and this is the beauty of it, he does not want us to stay like that. You see, the reality is many times, I don't know about you, but I look at the Bible, and it's like a mirror, and as I look at it, I think, oh, I don't like what I see. And yet the beauty is that God, as I walk in his way, is changing me. It says there in Corinthians, from one glory to another, he wants to reflect out through us the glory of his lovely Son, so that as people see me, no more do they see the old Mark de Jager, the guy with the bad temper, the guy who's sensitive and easy offended in that. No, instead, they begin to see the lovely Lord Jesus, who's long-suffering and patient, who instead of responding in kind, he waits on people, and they begin to see him. See, that's God's way. Changing you and me to be like his lovely Son. And that's his purpose. And so God's way is perfect. You see, when we walk in his way, there's nothing missing. It's complete. When we're walking in God's way, it's complete. And so we're to believe in that. And you think of it, what happens when we allow the Lord to do that in our life? Well, you look at Joseph. He saw what God is like, and he waited. He was walking in God's way, And he waited on God. And can you imagine reading that story recently? Joseph, 17 years roughly or something like that, he's taken and he's sold by his brothers. How would you respond to that? Hey, Morgan, I'm going to sell you. There comes Thomas, and he sells Morgan off into, got rid of my brother, he's gone. Like, what would you do? Like, God's forgotten about me. But no, Joseph knew God's way. So much so that when Potiphar's wife came after him, even though he was way far from home, there was nobody there who appeared to give a care about him. And he said, I will not sin against God by doing this. He would reject that, and he would go on even when he was in prison. Until the day, it says, the word of God tried him. And God found him to be faithful, and God says, now I got another job for you. I don't want you working anymore in that prison. I'd like you to be in charge of the whole country. And God brought him out, and God put him in a place, and he delivered the nation by him. See, the word of God tried him, but God was faithful, and Joseph saw that, and the Lord used it. Now, when we look at God's ways, turn over with me to Isaiah 55. We see that God's ways are so much higher than our ways, and the title I put for this, that God's ways are divine. God's ways are divine. You see, we look at the things that happen and we're overwhelmed. But look what it says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9. It says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are so much higher than my ways. It's incomprehensible. How do we ever begin to measure God's ways? When we begin to look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, to think that God's solution to your sin and my sin was to offer his Son, that goes beyond human comprehension. It goes beyond our ability to fathom that someone would go to that extent for their enemy. And yet that's what God would do. Flip over to Romans and hear what Paul would say. Romans chapter 11. It's like Paul couldn't contain himself, and when he saw God's way, he bursts out, and listen to what he says there. Romans chapter 11. Listen to Paul's exclamation of God, of the wonder that he had for God's grace. Romans 11, verse 33, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out." Think of that. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. And then he goes on to say, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." When you read this, you begin to get appreciation for really how great God's ways are. That God in doing things does it so much higher than our ways. And it's beyond, it says here, beyond our comprehension. And so when you look at that, the first thing we have to take from this is that when we pass through different events, we have to believe that God is in control. You see, and this is the way we can evidence, we can demonstrate to the world that God is God. Because if I believe God's ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts than my thoughts, then when I go through a problem, then I got to be willing to trust that God's in control still, even though I'm going through a problem. And seeing as I was talking already about vehicles, this is probably one of my, you could say, Achilles heels, our vehicles. I know in Peru, I had a few problems with my vehicle down there, and whenever my vehicle would go awry, I would get this sinking feeling in my stomach, because it's like a big question mark. I have no idea what it's, especially in Peru, you just never know who's going to get a hold of. Down there, when you go to get your vehicle fixed, typically what you do is you stay there the whole time, because you don't know if the guy's going to put the new part in or not. You don't know if he'll change your oil or not. He may just say, "Yeah, everything's good," and he didn't do anything. He just kind of tried to pull the wool over your eyes. It would be a big question mark. And I was reading some of this, and I realized if I am going to believe that God is God, then that means I need to trust him, that he actually is in control. And that's easier to say than is to do. But the reality is that God is God, and his ways are above my ways. And if this is the way he sees to strengthen and to teach Mark DeJager, then I'm going to sit and I'm going to try to learn the lesson. And I'm going to hopefully do it in a way that will glorify him. But now, on the one aspect, these words are so big and so infinite, it's hard to get our heads around that. And see, this is the way of God. He doesn't leave us there. Because it's like if I gave you an elephant to eat, how do you ever do anything with that elephant? Well, God breaks it down for us. Because look what he does. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Because the root of the word his way, or the word way in the Old Testament, is actually the word to lead. And see, God doesn't just say, "Well, this is my way, make sure you do it." No, what does he do? He leads us in his way. And actually, he's done one better, because in John chapter 14, he's actually made his way alive. He's given us a living example of his way. Because in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says to his disciples, and to Thomas specifically, he says, "I am the way." You see, it's not enough that God says, Moses would say, "Show me your way." God would say, "I'm going to give you a living example of my way. I'm going to give you someone that you can follow his footsteps, and you'll know what my way is like." Because if you read in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that the Lord Jesus came, and the Lord Jesus is the living example. He's the living God. Because it says that he is the actual effulgence, or the radiance of God's glory. Did you want to see God? Then you look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God has seen fit to show you and me his glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to see God? Then look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what God looks like walking amongst us. And so God didn't leave it like in these terms that his ways are so much higher than our ways and his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, we can't comprehend it. So what does God do? Well, I'm going to bring it down to your size. Here's Jesus. He's the way. Watch him. That's what he did. Isn't that amazing? He breaks it down for you and for me. And as if that weren't enough, he then lives his whole life, the Lord Jesus lives his whole life to demonstrate to us what God's way is. And then at the end of it, for his disciples, who here in John chapter 14, they're getting kind of nervous. Like, Jesus is taking off. What are we going to do? Like, how are we supposed to do this? We still have so much to learn. And what does Jesus do? He says to them, he says, I will pray the Father to send you another comforter. And what was the purpose of that comforter? Well, remember the way God was going to lead us in his way. He was going to teach us his way. And he leaves us the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he didn't just stop there. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read it, verse 9. It says there, speaking of what God has done, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if we were to stop there, which many times we do, we stop there, and we say, well, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things God has prepared for those who love him. I can never comprehend the things God gives for me, that God has for me. And we stop there and we think, well, that is so wonderful. It's beyond my comprehension. That's not the truth. Read the next verse. What's it say? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Amazing. The things I could not comprehend, the things that are way beyond my imagination and my understanding, God has implanted his Spirit in every one of his and every believer, and through the Spirit, he's revealing those things that are incomprehensible. God wants to reveal to you his way. And he's so serious about it that he's actually, see, the Lord Jesus came down and he walked amongst us, and you could see him. But you know what? You could go home to your house and sleep, and you couldn't see him right now. You could hear stories about it, but you couldn't see him. And so God says, I'm going to do one better. I'm going to place in every person who trusts in me my own Spirit. So that my own Spirit, he says, Jesus would say that shortly afterward, the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming into the world, one of the purposes was to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit came is to be our guide. Remember, one of the words of the definitions of the word way was to lead. And the Holy Spirit came to lead or to guide us into all truth. And who is the truth? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the living way. You see how this is all starting to tie together? It's not an accident because this is God's way. There's no missing pieces in God's way. It all fits together. And he's made it all fit together in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there needs to be no unknowns. Oh yes, will I ever be able to comprehend all the things of God? Absolutely not. That's the beauty of eternity. I start now. That's why God's given us his word, so now we can start to know what God is like. And now we can begin to live that out. But I'm not stopping here. I'm looking forward to when I get to heaven, when I won't have all those distractions. See, like now I'm like a hound dog or a rabbit, you know. It's like I'm sitting here and I'm off there and off there and I got this and what I got, you know, my mind goes everywhere. And it's like, oh, just try to stay focused for 5 minutes. And boom, I'm off there again. But when I get to heaven, I won't be distracted anymore. It's like one brother says, I won't be able to see you for the first 1,000 years in heaven. I'm going to be a little busy with Jesus, okay? Maybe after the first 1,000, I'll drop by and say hello. Don't be offended, though, because you'll probably be there too, so we'll all be happy, right? But that's the reality, that he's given us to know him so that we can see what God is like. And so he's given to us his Spirit. Now, turn with me over to the psalm. Listen to the psalmist, what he would say. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Because what is God doing? He's leading us. He's teaching us his way. And why does he do that? Well, Psalm 27, verse 11. You hear a cry of what he wants him to do, what he's asking God to do. And he says there, Psalm 27, he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." And now God's given us his spirit to teach us. "And lead me in a smooth path," or a plain path, "because of my enemies." You see, this is where we start to apply this. The world is watching. The world is watching you and I. And they're listening to us because they want to see if what we say is true in our own life. See, it's fine for me to say that I'm a Christian and that God loves me. But you know what they want to see? Is that love transferable? Is that love working out through me to others? Or is it just kind of, I'm taking it all? I remember my sister Audrey saying that, where she was in Africa. She said the people, when they got saved, their whole mentality was, is that I've got it and you don't. And it was kind of a bit of a proud thing because I've got it and you don't. That's not the attitude, is it? Because God's love is such that I can give it all away and I'm not one bit short. I've got every bit as much as I had at the beginning. But the world is watching. And so look what he says there. He says, "Because of my enemies, those who are watching me," the idea there is they're watching me to fall. People are watching us. If you're a believer today, they're watching you and they're seeing what your life is like. And you know what they're saying? They're watching and they're watching. And then you make a mistake. Yeah, see, I knew it. It's just a joke. It's not real. And they're watching you. You know, I was traveling with a brother a while back, earlier this year. This wasn't even in Atlantic Canada. And he mentioned how there was one assembly there, and they really hated to admit that there was one brother who was actually a brother. The reason was in the community he had a real bad reputation. What a sad thing, isn't it? See, the enemy is watching us. They're watching us. They love to see the truth, but they expect us to fall. Well, you see, God wants to demonstrate through you and me the truth of his word. And you know what? The reality is this, is yes, I may make a mistake, but if it says the righteous falls 7 times, and then what does he do? Stay flat on his back? No, it says he rises yet again. See, the world's not only watching to see what we fall, they want to see then what are we going to do. Because I may fall down and I may make a mistake and I may sin, but if I stay down there and continue in that, they're going to say, there you go. But if I confess that and get up and say, I was wrong, that's not God's way, that was Mark DeJager. It's like the guy who came up to Spurgeon, and there was a guy there who was a drunkard, and he says to Spurgeon, see, there's one of your converts. He says, yeah, it probably is, because it's definitely not God's convert. You see, they want to see a transformed life, a life that's repentant. And although they may not see the perfection that they see in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one thing at least they can see in me is repentance. That when I make a mistake, God, I've sinned. And that if it's against them, to let them know, I was wrong. I sinned. I'll give you an example of this. I'm not gloating about this. It was a mistake on my part. I remember one day I was driving down the road. This guy came flying up on my tail. He was driving very fast through our neighborhood, and it wasn't good. So I decided to take it in my hands. And I tapped my brakes a few times in front of him to make him aware that I was there. Long and short of it, he got upset with me and zoomed past me, stopped, and blah. It was not nice. And as soon as it happened, I felt like crawling in a hole, and I realized I had sinned. Now, what do I do? This guy wasn't saved as far as I knew. He wasn't a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do anything to make him see that that's not my Jesus? That's not my God. That's not his way. And I remember Jabe Nicholson had said this once. He said, leave people with something different than just an apology. So when they think of you, there's something afterwards that they're going to think of. So I thought about that and thought, well, what could I leave with somebody that they would think other than just, you know, I apologize for what I did. And through circumstance, I happen to have some gift certificates to Dairy Queen. Now, I don't know about you, but I like Dairy Queen ice cream and Dairy Queen cakes and all that stuff. So I thought, well, the way to a person's heart is through her stomach, I'll try it. So I went to the door and I came and I said, I apologize. That was wrong on my part. Will you forgive me? And they were gracious, yes. And they, well, I'm sorry too, he says. I was going to explain the whole story. And I said, I'd like to give this to you. And now, I don't know what they think of afterwards when they saw me, but I'm hoping that they wouldn't think of what I did wrong. I'm hoping they'll think of what I actually did right, and that they'll think about that ice cream and say, well, you know what, this guy, he messed up, but he did do a good job kind of making up for it. You see, people, the world is watching us, and that's why we say with the psalmist, teach me your way, O God. Teach me your way. And you know what? That may mean that I'm going to have to go through some hardships so it really gets driven into my mind so that I learn it. But they're watching me. They're watching for us to fall. But they're also watching to see if we stand, because that's going to be a testimony to them. Let's move on from there. You see, God has not left us. When God teaches us his way, it says in Psalm 103, verse 10, that he's not dealt with us according to our sins. God hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. Instead, he's done something far greater, hasn't he? He's given us eternal life, and he's given us a hope, and we didn't deserve it at all. But now, when God does, when God shows us his way, it touches every area of our life. There should be no area of our life that is not affected by walking in God's way. Every area of our life should be encompassed by that. Because just like God is complete, there is no area of God that is not demonstrated in his character, that he shows us all that in, through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ living in us should transform every part of us. You know, sometimes we like to say, well, you know, I guess everybody's got their vices. That's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ never did he? He was perfect in every way. And God wants to change you and me in every way. And I know there's some pretty rough edges on some of us, aren't there? And a lot of times, what does the Lord do? He lines us up with other people with rough edges. Because, see, if everything's smooth, we're never going to sand anything down, are we? So God lines us up with the people who are grinding us down. And, oh, that hurts. And, oh, I don't like that. And I come home and I whimper and I whine, God, why would you let this happen to me? Why this person said this about me, and that's so mean. And I realize what God is trying to do. God's trying to deal with Mark DeJager's pride and Mark DeJager's offensibility. Why? To realize I'm a servant of him. They're not talking about me. If I've sinned, yeah, definitely, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. But the accusations don't come against me. And so the Lord is trying to deal with me and trying to change me, because he wants to deal with every aspect of our character. And so I challenge you to come to the Word of God, and as you look at God, compare what God is like to your own self and to see the areas that God wants to deal with in your life. But now, last of all, it says that walking in God's ways, there should be results, and there are results. And what are the results? First of all, that we walk in his ways, and I kind of already said this, but Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But there's another wonderful thing about this. When we walk in God's ways, we get to see God's works. Remember the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21? God led them, it says God led them out of Egypt. And then it says God went before them to show them, get this, God went before them to show them the way. It's like a living example. We're talking here about God's way. Well, God actually demonstrated that way to the children of Israel. What did he do? He went ahead of them to light the way up. He went ahead of them as a cloud to show them the way so that there would never be a doubt that where they were going to go. And that's exactly what I've been saying all along, is that now God has left us with the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he's given us his own Spirit to show us the way so that we know which way we have to go. But the amazing thing is the children of Israel, and this is one of the things about walking his way, they got to see all the wonders that God had done. And you look back and you see all the plagues that God brought in Egypt, and then leading them through the Red Sea, and you think of all the things that God had done, and they got a ringside seat to see this all happening. I mean, can you imagine being there that night on the edge of that beach and seeing all the Egyptians coming behind you, and all there is water ahead of you, and then God says to Moses, stretch out your rod, and then I don't know what happened, I don't know how it happened, but the next thing you know, that there's a path being made right through the middle of the ocean. Oh, can you imagine, especially being a young person watching, going, oh, wow, and then walking through, I don't know if they could have put their hand into the wall of water, or how it worked, I don't know. But it would have been so amazing to go through it. And then to see God look behind, oh, the Egyptians are coming. Oh, no, the Egyptians are coming. And then God says, Moses, stretch out your rod again. And there go the Egyptians. Like, wow, they got ringside seats to see it all. And you and I can see the works of God, first in the salvation of our souls, but then as we see God work in other people's lives, answered prayer. If you're not praying, it's time to pray so that you can see God at work. And then we get to be part of that. We actually get to be part of that. But you know, there's a downside to that. There's a real danger to that. Because if you read a little further on, when the children of Israel refused to go into the promised land, do you know how many miracles you see after that? The only miracles that were after that were miracles of judgment. God opening the earth to swallow a rebellious family. I don't want to be part of that. I want to see God bless him. I want to see God's action as he would deliver his people. And that's what God wants to do for us, that to be able to see what he's done. And so he would say in Psalm 103, verse 7, we said he made known his ways to Moses. Well, the rest of the verse says his acts to the children of Israel. He showed to Israel, the word is actually his exploits, the great marvelous deeds he demonstrated to Israel. And they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. Now, you know what? You and I, through the aid of modern technology, have been witness to many, many things that God has done. We've heard, we've read things that God has done. Does that make you pray with more faith? Does that make you live more boldly? Or has that made your heart more calloused and unbelieving like the children of Israel? It's really something that we need to learn. But last of all, Psalm 128. I'd like you to turn there with me, please. When we walk in his way, look what it says here in Psalm 128. Psalm 128, verse 1. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So we could say, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed is everyone who walks in his ways. If you walk in the way of the Lord, if you say, now that's God's way, and like Moses, I want to know your way, so now I can walk in that way. Well, it says here, you will be blessed as you walk in his way. It doesn't mean the journey is going to be easy. It doesn't mean the road will be smooth. But it means that you will have a guide who will lead you, who will be with you, and he will change you so that as you and I walk in this way, we will begin to demonstrate the character of the person who made this way, of God himself. That is quite an amazing promise, that God will not only bless us, but that he will change us so that we reflect out to everyone around the glories of his person and of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you today and challenge you to examine the way of God and then to ask yourself, am I truly walking in his way? Or have I kind of been doing it with a half heart, or maybe not at all? Shall we pray? Oh Lord God, truly your ways are wonderful. And in so many ways, they're beyond our comprehension. And yet, oh God, in grace, you've given to us your Spirit so we could know them. You've given to us a living example through the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and who would die so that we might have eternal life, so that forever we might be able to be with you and to know you and to behold you and to behold the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. Oh, Lord, I pray for each person here today, for those who don't know the Lord Jesus, that they would see he is the way and the only way to God. There is no other way. He is the only salvation. And Father, for those today who are struggling, Father, through trials in their life, through sin in their life, oh God, may they come to you and find their peace and truth in the way. And so we commend them to you and thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and the life and the hope we have through him. We pray now in his name. Amen.